We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Mayor Garabian, there are plans to build a new train station on the Pawtucket Central Falls border. That's seen as a good thing for economic development. But we saw how there was projected to be very high ridership with a new train station at Wickford Junction. That high ridership did not really materialize. Some people question if this new train out of Pawtucket Central Falls goes to Boston and has a number of stops on the way to Boston. It's not that attractive for commuters. So is this idea of a train station as economic catalyst being oversold?
Absolutely not. In fact, one of the challenges that Pawtucket and Central Falls had, and we started this a few years ago, is we were living through that Wickford Junction challenges where the numbers were inflated. We had our consultant in, VHB, and they were very, very conservative. We had to go through multiple hoops, if you will, and defining the ridership because of the concerns. And once we were given that the Tiger grant, we went through those numbers. So the ridership today, and this is a low, this is one of the things that makes it different, is we were not allowed to utilize potential growth in that district by all of having the 164 acres around there, having people living in there. Where Wickford was able to calculate that number. And so this is true ridership numbers. I'm trying to go off the top of my head, but I want to say it was between 600 and 800 riders today with no economic development, no new activity in that. And that's a very conservative number. So when we went to the federal government is that with those numbers, they supported that. So it's not oversold. But understand, as we talked about things, you know, other things with the ballpark and 38 studios, it comes down to the fear of everybody. But clearly, this is true. The numbers are definitely been validated.
Speaking of the ballpark, I have another Paw Sox question. What would happen if this deal goes ahead and the ownership group sold out sometime after the bonds are issued? Would that have an adverse effect? And does that pose any concerns for you?
No, because one of the things that we are doing as part of the memorandum of understanding after everything comes through is we've taken this as a 30-year deal because that's what the bond we could afford as a community to do based on our growth, and we projected that very conservatively. And so this was built on 30 years. As part of that 30-year agreement, it's the league stays here for 30 years. Whether it's sold, the commitment would be here. So the obligations from them for us is on that 30-year window, and we would put all those protections in place.
Let's go to Scott.
What do you do with McCoy Stadium if you do get the approval to build a new park?
That's been one of the challenges, Scott. We try to do our due diligence. We believe that, again, we have environmental studies that we need to do over there, and that'll take place. I can't be going to spend dollars when we don't know that we're going forward. But one of the things we would do is an environmental study and what could be held there. Putting that aside, we looked at a pad ready. We said, okay, I have the folks, the consultants, and our treasurer and assessor looking at what would be the highest revenue generator for the city of Pawtucket, and we're working with different business models. Today, we see a best potential or highest potential if nothing changes in the economy the way it is today. We would potentially put some of the city services, whether a high school go there, a city hall, and in our growth center within where the district, the ballpark will be, and the commuter rail, we would be taking properties that are in that area that are not generating revenue, generating new revenue as opposed to the ballpark. So it's a higher revenue. So we're not sure where we go. You know, it's a public process that happens, but we see it as a public use as a governmental center.
What is the plan B for Pawtucket if the stadium deal does not work out?
I mean, you know, that is going to be horrible for all of us. You know, we would then be losing, I believe, the Paw Sox out of the state of Rhode Island. You know, if what they've done to step up is not accepted, they're gone. You know, they have a lease here till 2020 that they would be obligated to. Just like if when they were to move over to a new site, we'd have to look at what those options are. So there's no plan, but it would be devastating in a revenue decentral of like $2 million we would lose in the state.
I see Pawtucket is losing a grand cultural asset, the GAM Theater. How did that happen?
You know, there's been a lot of, they've been having concerns and issues with their current landlord because it's owned privately, and we've worked with them very collectively. They, when the Ocean State Theater opened up, it became space and opportunity for them. I respect everybody on that board. I think they've made a bad decision to leave Pawtucket, especially when we're moving forward. But there was their need for space that had driven that. You know, they've committed to continuing their education partner in the city of Pawtucket. We've been able to work that out. I still, even though it's a done deal, I always, just like we thought the Paw Sox were a done deal, I'm doing everything I can to keep them here. But that it's a business model that they have that they're moving.
Speaking of important community institutions, there's uncertainty about the future of Memorial Hospital. Where do things stand with that, and what do you see in the future for Memorial Hospital?
That we are under the understanding that Prime Healthcare and Medical, it will be purchasing the facility off of Care New England. There's been a couple of glitches in the negotiations part. There was some delay in some state issuing reporting and data, and not blaming anybody other than the process itself. We've been staying in touch with both Care New England, Prime, and the state. We're hopeful that over the next few weeks they'll be able to iron the changes and everything out, and the Prime will be taking over, because we want to preserve what jobs are there, the services that are there, and then increase it, because it really has decreased over the years.
I don't get why we should keep Memorial Hospital open. I mean, I know from a parochial standpoint in Pawtucket, I understand that, but look, here's a hospital that's losing money. And frankly, Pawtucket residents, anybody in your city who's really sick can go to two of the best teaching hospitals in New England, 6 miles away. Why do we need to add costs in the medical system to prop up a failing hospital?
So that's a fair question. And as a nonprofit, that's been very, very challenging. But as a profit hospital, and that's the new model that they're going to, they would keep it as an education hospital, because that's so important.
Education.
No, an educational hospital with Brown University and all the other medical. They will keep the students
there. They're going to there. Keep residents?
That's what the goal is, to keep the residency there, because that's important to our community. We have a service of those.
I believe that when I see it. I mean, do you really have that tied down?
They are saying that they have worked on that and they have tying that down. I don't know, because I don't see that. And that's part of the challenge, is because we're outside of it, you know, being the government or city. We're only as good as the information that they're providing. But that is important to our community, and the services are as well. But there's a fair question, Scott, that have to be ironed out.
Pawtucket is right next to Providence. And like Providence, Pawtucket has some concerns with gun-related violence. What is the city doing to try and reduce that and to get a better handle on that?
We've done a lot of things over the years that have been very successful. We do the gun buyback programs. We have a new community policing unit, which we call the NRU, which started a couple of years, you know, out in the schools, out in the communities, trying to educate folks. We had a major spike a year ago, the summer before, and you know, we really focused in on that. So we're doing all of those right things. The police are out in the community. They're in the schools. We have SRO offices in the schools, building the relationship.
SRO?
School Resource Officer, sorry, I do the acronyms. And so very, very focused in on what we can do to educate the youth to get those guns off of there. Council of Vitali, who is on the council, has had an initiative to do the gun buyback, and we're doing another one, I think, in November that we're scheduling. We do them yearly as well.
What are your school facility improvement costs?
To date, well, let me go back, Scott. 5 years ago, maybe 5.5 years ago, we did a complete assessment on all the schools, all the cities. The schools were about a $240 million buy-in then. To date, thanks to the support of the voters on the bonds, we've just renovated the Potter Burn School. We're in the process of doing our elementary school on Nathaniel Green. To date, we've spent over close to $60 million in safety and upgrades and a brand new, I say, renovation of the Potter Burn School. So we're investing in our communities. You know, that's always a challenge. That's why, you know, I say the Paw Sox and other revenue generating opportunities are so important to us, because we are a distressed community and new revenue is the key.
All right, we're short on time, so we need to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And the mayor of Pawtucket, Don Grebian.
Thank you for having me.